on that, and with that, I would move the amendment.
The gentleman from Mahaska has moved amendment 1204. All those in favor shall say aye. Those opposed shall say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it, and the amendment is adopted. We are now back on House File 760 as amended. Is there discussion? Seeing none, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Mahaska for closing. The gentleman from Mahaska moves the bill be read for the last time and placed on the
judicial policy, or by taking no action at all, have actually encouraged freight trucks to carry heavier and heavier loads. The wear and tear being generated by heavy trucks is worsening maintenance needs at a time when states are already underfunding road maintenance by billions of dollars. Engineers estimate that a fully loaded truck, a five-axle rig weighing 80,000 pounds, the interstate maximum, causes more damage to a highway than 5,000 cars. Some road planners say that the toll is even higher, that it would take close to 10,000 cars to equal the damage caused by one heavy truck. When the trucks are overloaded, as quite a few of them are, and which will be the case with under this bill, the damage is exponentially worse. Increasing a truck's weight to 90,000 pounds results in a 42% increase in road wear. Pavement designed to last 20 years wears out in 7. Judith Corley Lay is the chief pavement management engineer for North Carolina's Transportation Department. At the request of state lawmakers, Ms. Corley Lay recently analyzed heavy truck traffic in the state to determine the cost of overweight trucks. What she found was startling. Heavy trucks are costing the state an extra $78 million per year, and that figure is really just a rough estimate based on average road types and some guesswork to fill in gaps in traffic data. The impact of these trucks is most dramatic in states that have allowed certain industry, for example, logging, loaded beyond state weight limits. And this morning, I received this from the Iowa County Engineers Association. We appreciate some of the compromises made by proponents of the bill, particularly route approval by local authority. But an overweight load of logs can be divided into more loads. It doesn't seem right to allow this one industry to have a special exemption. Which industry will be special next? Which will have a special exemption where we pretend the load can't be divided into more loads? Heavier loads will accelerate the deterioration of the secondary road system disproportionately compared to the primary system. Other annual overweight permits cost as much as $400 and must be purchased from multiple jurisdictions. The $175 permit single payment seems generous to this industry. Centralized permitting through the Iowa DOT is an idea worth discussing, but it should be evaluated on its own merit. It's wrong to move it along so suddenly and fast in the last days of the session as something tacked on to another bill. Now, during the subcommittee, we heard some things from the logging industry during the subcommittee about shipping by rail, which would be an alternative. And what we heard kind of gave us, some of us, pause that know the rail industry. The way shipping by rail was talked about was not the way I remembered it when I worked in the industry. But I'm not here to make business decisions for the loggers. But what I am here to do, though, is to watch out for the safety of my constituents and be a guardian for how the taxes that they pay are spent. More bigger trucks will make our loads less safe. Taxes will go up to repair and maintain the roads just to keep them drivable. And it will be our constituents that will pay the cost. I think this is a bad bill. It's bad for Iowa, and I encourage everyone to vote against this bill. Thank you.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Warren, Representative Orr.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House, it looks like the duel of the truckers and the railroaders has begun already. Well, I'll tell you what. My friend to my right was a railroad engineer for many, many years, worked very, very hard in a very noble industry, one that has helped build this country. I, on the other hand, work in an industry, when we're not in here, that provides for the construction of wind turbines. I'm sure if you go west of here and now somewhat east, you'll see the product of our labor. And I'm proud to say that Iowa now produces almost 50% of its consumable energy from wind. But I'll tell you right now, without the kind of permit trucking that we're talking about, those great big giant generators, 190,000 pounds apiece, those 165-foot-long blades that you see running down the highways, the crane parts that are excessive in weight, all of those things have to be transported somehow, because if we're going to continue to be on the cutting edge of commerce in this state, if we're going to continue to build industry in this state and provide all those jobs that our wind industry and other industries that are similar are providing right now, we have to move the building products and the parts across Iowa's highways and roads. Now, what people don't understand, when you think about a heavy truck, when we bring a 190,000-pound piece of equipment down the highway and onto our county roads, a number of things have happened prior to that. First of all, there is a permitting system, and last year alone in Iowa, 4,883 permits were issued, annual permits were issued, for weights of 156,000 pounds or more. It's commonplace already in this state. This logging business is really kind of just a drop in the bucket. The important thing about the log and the raw forest products business is that what they're doing now is pushing for a more universal, streamlined permitting process that integrates state permits with federal highway use and all the way down to the county roads. As it stands right now, when I have I operate truck just like Representative Worthen and many others. When I bring my rig in there, we've already got permits pulled with the state. We've already got it worked out. The county engineer works out the routes that we take. And if any of you have ever been to a wind farm, they're not typically on paved roads. They're on county roads on people's farms. We work all these things out, and we work together to achieve the common interest, which is to produce wind energy in Iowa. All the industries, if you have it in your house, you can bet that it was brought in on a truck. It either came from a ship to a rail to a truck, or a railroad to a truck, or right from a port in a sea container, right to the back of a truck and on. This is how America was built. Now, I will tell you, growing up down there near where Representative Kurtz, where he represents, the Keokuk Dam, Lock and Dam 19, as barges got bigger and loads, and we started producing more and more grain in Iowa and Illinois and all across the grain belt, we had excessive volume compared to what we had 50 years ago, and that grain had to get moved to market. What did we do? We built bigger barges. We built bigger tows. We built longer rafts of barges, longer tows, 21, 22, sometimes as many as 30 barges. As a result, we had to expand and rebuild, basically remodel, the lock and dam system up and down the Mississippi River to accommodate the growing commerce and the growing need for more products in America. And so we accommodated that, and we rebuilt. I suggest that we're not going to be going backwards in time on this deal, but rather we're going to be going forward. And the need to transport the goods, the manufactured parts, and all the other things, and some of them are very heavy, if we're going to continue to be on the cutting edge of manufacturing, production, and commerce in this state, then we have to move forward into the 21st century. When we repair our highways, there are new techniques and things that we can do to make those highways sustain the new things. But let me tell you, just because a truck is heavier doesn't mean it creates more damage on the highway. Because as Representative Worthen will tell you, I can tell you, we're not running six axles with all this weight on it. I'm running 22 axles, which means that weight is distributed across a plane of touch points on the pavement that allows no more than 24,000 pounds per axle to actually make contact with that roadway. It's all about weight distribution. It's all about permitting. And it's not something we aren't already doing in a very, very robust way. So I would move this. I would like to see all of us vote yes on this bill. It's good for commerce, good for farming, good for manufacturing, good for wind production. And it's especially going to do good things to streamline the way we permit the transportation process here in the state of Iowa. I think Representative Hine laid it out very, very eloquently. And I hope that you will understand that these types of progressive movements with regard to transportation in Iowa are necessary to keep us on the front lines Madam Speaker.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Jones, Representative Hines, for closing comments on Senate File 629.
Well, I appreciate the debate, and thank you, Representative Orth, about your comments, and Representative Kurth. Couple of things that I've looked at. We talk about the exemptions for the forestry products. There's already exemption for raw milk, and I believe garbage trucks are on that list. We've been working on this bill. I've been actually working on this bill for probably 3 years, and this year things kind of picked up, and I, along with some counterparts in the Senate, have been working on it all session. The final thing that I want to say about this is that the counties still do have the ultimate say on who travels on their roads and their weight limits. The DOT in this bill is asked to build this one-stop shop in conjunction with the county engineers and the county supervisors. And with that, Madam Speaker, I move the bill.
The gentleman from Jones moves the bill be read for the last time and placed on its passage. Are there objections? Seeing none, the clerk will read.
Senate File 629, a bill for an act relating to the permits of vehicles of excise size and weight, including vehicle transporting raw forest materials and product, and providing for fees, be it enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
Question now, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of passage shall vote aye. Those opposed shall vote no. The clerk will open the machine and receive your vote. Grassley votes aye. Nielsen votes no. Thorpe votes aye. Hanusa votes aye. Jones votes aye. Have you all now voted? The clerk will close the machine and record your vote. The House will pay attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 69. Those voting no, 31. Those absent or not voting, 0. The bill, having received a constitutional majority, is declared to have passed the House. Are there objections to the title? Chair hears none, and the title is agreed to. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Lynn, Representative Zumbaugh, for opening comments on House File 778.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, today is a great day for Iowa's beginning farmers. With the passage of House File 768 earlier today, beginning farmers should have more access to the land they wish to rent. Now we are considering House Study Bill 188, and this bill should allow Iowa's beginning farmers to have more access to the land that they wish to purchase, to start, or grow their businesses. This bill simply does not allow the changes to take place that are in the tax bill in 2023. If the state revenue targets are met. There are some slight changes to the current law, and they are as follows. Included in this bill would be that the residents on the farm, along with the outbuildings, would be included. Along with that, there'd be an increase in the family members to be included to include second cousins and or any relative that is part owner in the existing business. That concludes my opening comments.
Is there discussion? Chair recognizes the gentleman from Johnson, Representative Jacoby.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, would Representative Zumbach yield to a couple questions?
Will the gentleman yield?
Yes.
Thank you, and
I appreciate your comments on House File 768, great bill. I'm not as excited about House File 778. A couple questions. Anytime I look at tax policy, I'm always looking for consistency and balance. In other words, if it's good tax policy, I think three things. Number one, it should start immediately. Number two, that its tax cuts will promote growth that offsets the loss in revenue. And number three, good tax policy never, ever has triggers. Triggers is a failed tax policy that we've seen across many states, including Iowa. When this bill proposed that the capital gains exemption would start?
Maybe I was misunderstood. The way the tax bill was written is that in 2023, the taxes bill would change to be material per
today I'll be a no on this bill. Again, good tax policy, if it's truly good tax policy, should start right now. If it's good tax policy, it should offset the cuts by growth. And thirdly, never ever does good tax policy have triggers.